This the Black Powder Podcast. Kick up your feet, lean on your armrest, right, and get your mind blessed on this conquest. Hold a grip like a 12th gauge. Let this moment kick. Black people moving and having some gun ownership. I carry weight, not to keep the camera safe. It's thinking about you, my kids and my parents' faces. The big topics they don't wanna involve us. Think we're novice, but now we're moving hard with revolvers. This the Black Powder Podcast. Let's get it started. Yeah.
Primer's hit, the powder's lit. This is the Black Powder Podcast, where we chamber the narrative, light the message, and stay on target. Exploring firearms, culture, and community with the unique perspective of black gun ownership. The Second Amendment is for all, but here we aim to redefine the narrative of black society in the Second Amendment space and terraform the landscape of firearm communities with purpose and power. As always, if you have questions, comments, or would like to be featured on the show, please reach out to blackpowderpodcast@gmail.com and search for us on all popular social media sites such as Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, and more. If you're looking for past episodes, please find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, and more. Shout out to the supporters: Tactician Fragrances, Tardigrade Industry, Gun Club Radio, Hot Brass Clothing Company, and many more listed below in the information.
So with me today, I have a special guest who is the CEO of Tardigrade Industries as well as Tactician Fragrances. Sir, if you would please introduce yourself.
My name is Chris McKenna, and I am, as you said, the CEO of a company called Tardigrade Industries and a very, very new company called Tactician Fragrances.
And I've tried these fragrances before, and we're going to get into it a little bit later on, but I just got done trying the 50 cent and it blew my ranking system apart. I don't know which one is my number one anymore. Damn it, Chris, they smell good.
I know. It is tough to nail down. And it took a lot of time to do these because it wasn't just, hey, let's make a scent. It was a very grueling process of really testing like all of this. I have probably close to 500 different mixes that went on to get all these four scents. So it was a grueling process, but I think at the end it's worth it. So, and like you said, we'll get into that. It's fun.
I could, as a satisfied customer, I could definitely say it's worth it. But you know, let's go ahead and get started with one of the main questions that leads to why we have companies. So what was your journey that led you to founding Tardigrade Industries?
Well, this goes really deep. And I'm going to start with my childhood. So I grew up in a place called Old Town, Maine, West Old Town, Maine, very poor, very, low community type thing. And we lived out in the Willywacks. And my father worked for a mill. It was the James River Company at the time. It was a paper mill. And when I was probably in the third grade, he had brought home this hard hat. And it was just this with a flashlight on it. So it was, you know, the hard hat with an accessory on it. Like, this is the coolest thing ever. And I took it one day. And we had a tree house that we had built. And I've been up and down it 100 times. And just one day, I happened to put on that hard hat. And it was a little loose and stuff. But, you know, I put some stuffing in it and got it to fit right. And I climbed the tree and did something. And I fell out of the tree. And there was this rock, and my head hit this rock, and I put a massive dent in this. It was like an aluminum type hard hat in this hard hat.
Wow.
So I'm more freaked out about, oh my God, my dad's gonna kill me because I just messed up this thing, and not realizing, you know. And I guess that started the fascination with like protection, because had I not had that on, would I be a vegetable? Would I be dead? I have no idea. Would I just be crying to mom? I don't know. But that leads you to think, I don't know. But having that certainly started a pathway to thinking in a certain direction. So fast forward a little bit through life, and I became a law enforcement officer for a while. I did it since 1999. Retired out of it as a sergeant, and during that time, it was like 2016, 15, 14, somewhere around there, that tardigrades came out into the public. Like, these things are, you know, we've known about them for a long time. But it happened to hit a news cycle, and maybe because they found them on the outside of the space station or something, they're just kind of kicking around. And I just thought that's a really cool name. And it's, you know, someday I want a company and that builds products, and that's what I'm going to name it. I'm going to name it Tardigrade. So when I got done out of law enforcement, I was working as this safety kind of safety coordinator, supervisor for a large trucking company. And this helmet came out, and you can see it right there. That one, it was called the Ronin by DevTac. Very, very cool at the time, you know, full face helmet and stuff. And I started a dialogue with the gentleman who produced it, and he sent me one. And my biggest I didn't like was there's just two little beady eyes. And it's very hard to see, very claustrophobic. And my thought was, well, we need to open that up. You know, if we're going to go US market, that needs to be like a visor. And he just wouldn't do it. He said, because ballistic glass is usually an inch and a half thick to stop even a 9mm. And I'm like, well, that's no good. So I got to working on glass. And how do we make glass lighter and thinner to stop a particular threat so we can open that up into a visor? And that was in 2017. And I started messing around materials. I started doing just weird things with polycarbonate acrylics and different things. And then there was one solution that kind of came together by accident. And I hate to say it, but most things just do happen by accident. And we were able to layer a very hard, super hard piece of glass, think almost like a diamond in hardness, to a piece of plastic polycarb. And what happens with this process is you leave the inner layer. There is no inner layer. There's no air gap. There's nothing. There's no solution to it. You just abut them together, which creates a crystal clear looking window, but also creates a pretty good kinetic event. So what happens when a projectile comes in and strikes the first piece is this piece says, boom, I'm out of here, and takes all that energy to break it up and crack it. Whereas this layer is very soft, very ductile, and goes bloop and catches the remaining energy of the projectile. And I thought, there it is, because now we've taken glass and condensed it from that inch and a half needed to hit multiple shots. What we're trying to stop is a 3x2 area, you know, an almond basically on your face. So that really only needs to take that only needs to take a very small amount of energy and one hit, pretty much. So that's when I kind of I guess not invented, but discovered it. Immediately, it was like talks about patenting, and we do have a patent on the product itself, so that's all good. And my other thing was, well, do I run with this on my own, or do I run with it with the helmet system? And it was instantaneously that I run with it on my own, and then Tardigrade was born. It kind of spells it out, right?
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, whenever you first told me about the technology behind it, I thought it's pretty cool because it kind of reminds me of when what was that armor that came out?
Dragon
Dragon
armor.
skin, I think. Yeah, it came out a long time ago, and everybody's like, "This is latest and greatest thing," but you know that you didn't really hear much about any new advancements in anything like that until well, you know, much later on. And here you are, you're saying you're basically changing the world of safety whenever it comes to tactical wear, which is honestly, I think it's good, especially for police officers overseas with our military. And you know, I guess even in civilian usage, because you know, I'm trying to work on becoming a firearm instructor myself. And the funny thing is, you go to some ranges, and you know, in my case, I've got the four eyes thing going on. So they look at my glasses and like, "Yeah, you're pretty blind, so it should stop everything. Go ahead."
That's glass, though. So that's the problem is it, you know, it's not really a safety glass because it's going to break, and it's even worse at that point because now you get shards flying at you, which is why that solution of having the ductile piece that's going to catch all the shards and everything that doesn't allow it to penetrate through. But you're talking a massive hit too. You're talking a serious kinetic hit, you know, hitting these. And I guess the latest rendition of it is these ones here. And this is the case it comes in. You probably saw that maybe on the site and stuff, but this is a just our proprietary Molly case, which I like because we invented, well, we kind of gave our input on it. There's a guy who had a lot, some of it already done, but it's for a contract purpose. And what I really like about it is that the case is one hand operation where you can open it.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's a shim on the back. So check this out. Once I open it and say it's attached to your body or whatever, when you close it, it automatically shuts itself and locks. So it's a hard lock case. Molly, any way you want, left, right, up, down, side, whatever. So I thought that was pretty cool. And that's just the case. And then you get into what the hardware is on the system itself, on the goggle system. And this is 4.85 ounces. Mm-hmm. And at the lens, we were stopping upwards of almost 200 joules of energy, which equates to the 17 grain frag projectile, which they use for combat simulations. They mm-hmm. use it on the helmets and in the EOD stuff. They will shoot this 17 grain, 22 caliber projectile. And the eyewear velocity is right around 660. That's what they have now, 660. Mm-hmm. And these are doing roughly about 2,000 feet per second. Combat helmet does 20, just to put into perspective, a combat helmet does 2,400 feet per second on that frag. So these are almost meeting the actual spec to a combat helmet for a frag and weigh less than the required standard of 5.1 ounces. So what a knockout. I mean, this thing's just is very cool. Very, very
cool. It's a game changer, man. Game
changer. Oh, yeah. I mean, it is very, very game changing is the right word for it. Takes a diamond to scratch the lens. You can't scratch
wow.
it. Inside is treated with an anti-fog that's not a hydrophobic, but it's a hydrophilic coat. So it's like a moisture-loving coat. So you can actually hold it over a tea kettle. It doesn't fog. Everything is what's called LSR bonded. So the silicone is actually chemically bonded to any of the plastics on the inside. So you can't take it apart. You can't rip it apart. It's impossible. You'd rip the unit in half if you did. So these are rugged. And that's the point is it's, again, tardigrade, rugged.
Right.
Just the best. And that's what these ones are. I'll spin that into where this led to. So I've been working on these, like I said, since 2017. And mm-hmm. this was the latest rendition that we had. Was called the Ocellus.
And I got the ad right here.
There it is. Yeah. Well, it's nice on your camera there. I like that.
Yeah, I like it. It's just very great advertisement too. Professional. You see this called the Ocellus?
Yeah, Ocellus, which basically Ocelli or Ocellus is like multiple. It means the eye of a bug, which what's a tardigrade? Hey, he's a bug too. So Ocellus just kind of fit with that. where we went with this was in 2022. A government contract came out, solicitation for eyewear that could do a phenomenal thing, and that mm-hmm. is stop what this is stopping. So it was kind of like, wow, that's interesting. And I think somebody got wind that this was a real thing, but in the way the government works is they can't just come directly to you and say, we love what you're doing. We're going to change the complete mil-spec standard on eyewear. There's a process that has to be undertaken with that. So they have to put out a bid process for it. So I bid for this project and I was awarded the project, which is closing very soon. You can look that up and I'll provide you a link to that so you can look at it.
Appreciate that.
That is a very resilient goggle system. That is, you think this is game changing. This one, and I can't speak a lot about it because it's still controlled and classified, but whatever's on the website is free game on their website. And there's some images of it and some descriptors to it. And I'll let your mind go from there. It's pretty crazy though.
Gotcha. Or else we'll have to redact the next 5 minutes of this conversation and just, you know.
You just got to show, you can show the link, and the link shows pretty much, you know, what's out there available to the public on this. I have to deliver it next Thursday. So fingers crossed that we're going to get this thing over the finish line.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you, based on the conversation we had leading up to this interview, dude, you got this. I have no doubt. So. Because I understand the hoping, but like just based on, because I mean, I never in my life, well, going to sound old, but I never in my lifetime would have imagined goggles and other technology that would actually stop bullets in general. Because, you know, usually, like if you take movies for what they are with a grain of salt,
sure,
you watch a movie, you got the soldier behind the line over here, and he's trying to, let's say, take out a sniper or something, right? Yeah. But of course, the sniper being the sniper, he's like, and he's right. And just for that movie effect, they pull the soldier back and you see that, you know, the bullet went through the eyewear that he's wearing.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, well, I mean, they look cool, but what's the point of even wearing them? And now we have an answer to that.
Like, yeah. And I mean, obviously, high powered rifles are still high powered rifles. Those are going to
True,
drop a
true.
lot of stuff. But it's what people don't realize is the fragmentation, the bullets hitting off walls, hitting off the ground, all the stuff flying around. If something goes off, a grenade, a bomb, an IED, anything going on in warfare
Right.
is just tearing through things. So it's not necessarily about stopping the bullet, but there's a specific standard for the helmet for a reason. Otherwise, they'd be wearing hard hats. Just give them hard hats and safety glasses and go fight your war. But they give them combat helmets, and that's for a reason, because of the layered polyethylenes and old Kevlars that were making these helmets was super strong and resilient and would protect your head from the threats that were recognized in the field. So there's a big push for what's called IHIPS, which is Integrated Head Protection System. And that is a helmet and a mandible. And then this area, which nobody's got it. And, with my patent and with all of our time in doing this, we've solved this part, because we're able to make this part thin enough and light enough to where it actually meets the specs of everything else they're trying to produce. So in the future, you're going to see a tardigrade, with the actual head protection systems based on like something like that.
That's so cool. And me being a gamer, I don't know why I'm getting like this is an old game, but kind of Army of Two vibes.
I love Army of Two. That was a fun game. What was it?
Yeah.
Rios and what was the other guy's name?
Tyson and Rios.
Yeah, that was
back to back.
That was fun. I love that game. That was good stuff. But and yes, this is not light. I mean, it is about 5 pounds. However,
right,
that's what spins us into when we go from eyewear. Like, what else can we do with this? And it's now about face protection and mantle protection. So being a law enforcement officer, we always did the, we did the tactical trainings and the stuff like that, and the breaching training, SWAT 1, SWAT 2, and alert and active shooters and that type of stuff. And what you realize is that at the end of the day, you get a call like that, and it could be anything too, like a really bad domestic situation where there's a gun involved,
right,
in nature. You don't know what you're getting into. So with this, why I liked it is because when we're going in as LE, you're going to the threat. You're presenting yourself to it. And when we train to shoot, we train for the T-box in the head and the center mass. So right, it's almost like the little bowling pin. You're going to shoot the bowling pin, and wherever if you hit it here and here, you're good to go. So if you're going after a threat, why aren't you protecting the threat on yourself, which is the T-box? So that's why I came up with this. It took a long time to come up with this, and it's because there's several different factors going on with it. It's not just a mask like that, but you have breathing form factors inside of here, so you can actually breathe and dissipate. And it's offset enough so that you can actually get really good breath from it, and it doesn't claustrophobic you. The angles for the vision were good, so that you could see all the way around. And then
Which
the angles
important.
For the actual unit itself made it so it fit your face comfortably and tight. Because when you talk about like a kinetic energy effect, when it hits this, now we don't want any back face, because normal like Kevlar or hard body armor, it's going to get hit and it's going to produce a back face. And there's a certain acceptable amount of back face that's allowed through the NIJ standard, which means a bullet hits it. And let's say a back face is 30 millimeters. And I'm not sure what the number is. I think it's 27, depending on the armor, what it is. But think about wearing a piece of armor and then getting hit with a round and having it penetrate still 27 millimeters, going to give you quite the contusion, might even break
right.
something. So
right.
What we wanted with this was completely, and no back face on the calibers we wanted to stop, because then it's like a hockey mask, like a little bit more of a puck hitting you in the face and jarring you. And then people see like, well, you're going to break your neck. It's like if a 9 millimeter hit this and broke your neck, ain't happening. There's too much weight to that small bullet for that kinetic event to happen, where it's not going to deal with it. So even what I like about this is, though, even the visor system will take the round, it'll take that round. So if a bullet actually struck the visor, it's going to be able to dissipate that energy with it as well. So very simple, counterbalanced with this. And this also acts as an axis to your neck. So my thought was, if you needed it, you could grab it with one hand, and just like a catcher's mask, you can dot it and you're good.
Wow.
That quick. So now I can see everything. I could punch out on there. It's very comfortable. I can see. Yep, beyond 210, like this way, and then taking off as simple as that. So what I liked about it was this piece here being the axis of your neck. If you wanted a combat helmet with it, you could certainly do it. And you place it, you adjust the strapping system so that it places the armor to the axis of your neck. So now you've got a protection to that spinal where your brainstem meets your spine with this. So it just made sense, you know, from a counterbalance standpoint, from an armor standpoint. And I can honestly see us taking this to the even next level and creating our own crown system for it, so that this becomes just a helmet you drop on, and then like a hard hat, you'd have a click system which encroaches everything, clamshells it to your face with a nice comfortable system. It's hard to see inside of this, but it is completely covered with yeah. Let me get a light here for you. Up there. Didn't work well.
Oh yeah, I see it, like the internal padding.
Yeah, so you have internal padding, but you also have the foam is completely all the way, like the whole shape of the inside. So if you want to adjust these, you can simply pull these out and adjust them wherever fits your face correctly. So
Wow.
the whole system can be adjusted to fit the user himself.
That's awesome. And you know, the one thing that's weird to me is, like, I don't know why whenever anybody tries to implement like a new safety idea, you always have people that are like, no, they turn into like the Christmas story, like, no, kid, you shoot your eye out. But yet it's something that isn't there yet. And I would think that if the worst thing you have to worry about is breaking your neck, at least your face is still intact and it's in one piece, versus, like, God forbid, the opposite of it, you know? I mean, there's a better chance, in my opinion, I'm not like a doctor or anything, but there's a better chance of fixing somebody's broken neck, depending on how severe it is, you know, if it does happen,
Yeah,
versus the alternative. So
it's still not happening. That bullet's not going to break it. No way. I mean,
right.
and a rifle is going to go through it anyway, so it defeats the purpose of even that. But all handgun, 44, 9 mil, all that stuff, it's just going to bounce off. And then they're like, yeah, it bounces into your collarbone. So no matter what you do, you've always got somebody. So
Right.
yes, I will take the collarbone shot than a hole in my face. Thank you very much. You know,
Right.
it's horseshoes and hand grenades at this point. So there's always the naysayers, which it actually gets into one of your questions we can get into later on, though. But
Gotcha. And I just want to say that I can definitely appreciate the fact, because I was looking at the mandible as well as the ocellus again,
yeah.
the fact that it's pretty much like a 180, if not better, viewpoint. So, because, you
So
know,
yeah.
sometimes whenever you're wearing goggles, that little part right over here is blocked off, so you have a blind spot. But
Yeah, these are
the fact
270,
that,
not 210, sorry. These were engineered for 210. So you do have that side window here that you can actually peek through. Yeah, I can see.
yeah,
Yeah,
that
I could see it very
great
well. So
feature.
took a while, you know, to figure out all this stuff. When you start going down, you if you saw the first ones I made, you'd be like, dude, give up. They were bad. You know, it's just this iterative process. You have to go through it. And it's the resiliency to actually just believe in yourself if you got something, and just believe in yourself and keep going and doing it. And yeah, what a journey, man. I tell you, it's been something else. But now that
Yeah.
it's going to be successful, Everett, I'm happy. I'm believing in
Well, I mean, I can see it happening, because, I mean, hell, even Spider-Man was fighting crime at one point in like just raggedy suit.
you.
And I know comic books aren't real, but you know, he fought crime in a raggedy suit. There was a time where he had to put on a paper bag to fight crime, but you know what? He still went out and did it. If he was like, no, I can't do it because I don't have my costume all vein and everything, nothing would get done.
Then he got
So,
through.
but. So with the mandible and the ocellus, which are just mind-blowingly high-tech pieces of safety equipment, which is awesome. Like, I'm still blown away. I mean, you told me about this before. I'm still blown away every time I hear about it. And now that I've seen it, I'm like, wow. But are you applying these features to anything else, such as maybe like some sort of shield or
We
some
can
sort of
do,
cornering devices?
I recognize the potential to do the viewports on shields, and there's a couple interested places in having talks about that. So comes down to numbers, comes down to what does somebody want? You know, do they want to spend an extra $1,000 for the shield, which they may, because some of these shields, just a regular handheld kind of a shield that's level, I think it was like a 3+ with the glass 3+, and it was very pretty. It had a lot of bells and whistles, and it was like, that's cool. It was 14 grand. So it was, yeah. So it's one of those shields that, yeah, we'll spend an extra two for the glass if we can thin this thing down. And what we could do is from, so if you have a viewport about this big, so it's about, something to see through, we could actually shave that down by like 20 pounds using our glass profile. So the trade-off is the weight. So you're going to get the Cadillac or the Bugatti really for the weight standard to it. And that's where it comes, that's where the premium would come in. And I think there's some interested parties out there for sure.
Nice. Comes with Bluetooth connection.
Well, we can do whatever you want.
Nice.
Well,
It sounds like you definitely are just full throttle spearheading this thing, and I don't doubt that it's definitely going to change the world. And it seems like there's a lot of your own personal principles put behind everything that you put out. What were some of those principles or philosophies that you believe in that guide the creation of your products? You know,
first of all,
what?
I think it's just the creativity, because in my whole family, especially my mother's side, is the artists. They're artistic people, just drawing and painting. And that side of me, I got that side with them. So I go into a profession that's very logical, left brain, very, black and white. And then, but I, this guy over here who's 16.7 million colors and love it, and do a lot of stuff. And so I think it was just a matter of channeling that, and those two professions kind of cross parallel. So you have the law enforcement side of it, and then the really the artsy side of it, creative side of it, and being in the field and trying to recognize, wow, I need something. What do I need? And that led to, the hindsight. It led to this thing. So these are made in New Hampshire. This one's probably more expensive than it should be, but
That's cool.
it's titanium. It's titanium titanium, and it has a QD mount to it. It's a quick release, so you can put it on the end of the rifle. And what it does is I was working at Waterville PD in Maine, and it was a late night. There was an alarm at a Martin's Building warehouse. So two of us were only at, it was a very busy night. We only had two guys to respond. Woman thinks a man went in. He might be armed. We don't know what's going on. So I was like, okay, great. So we go in and we have to clear, like clearing a building. However, every 10 feet, there's a pallet that's like 10 feet tall. In a 15,000 square foot building, that's an exhausting clearing. So I was like, I wish I had even like a little tack mirror to do something. And then this kind of made the idea where you put this on the end of the rifle, and now I can pop it around a corner, and I can, well, I can't really see, but boom, I can now get a clear deep 90 that pocket. I can deep 90 it. Or I can, well, as I'm moving forward, I could quickly check my six and just, have it's like a rear view mirror for your rifle. And kind of a neat idea.
It's a very neat idea. That's definitely a lot better than picking up a piece of glass and hoping that it doesn't get shot. You know, you just.
It does open your eyes, which, like, when we go to shot and stuff, we'll bring a blue gun so people can try it. And when they demo it, they get it. It clicks instantly because it's like, oh my, it's very cool to have.
Yeah,
Now,
might
one
try
of
and see if I
the
can make SHOT Show this time, but I don't know. I got to see what the schedule looks like.
well, let me know. I'll get you in. You need a ticket, so I'll get you a ticket.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Let's go.
Give me a hat or something. I don't want to be like, yeah, I'm just hanging around here. I'll be like, hey, you look like you need some tactical gear, and you smell kind of funky. Come with me. You know, just nah. I don't want to chase the customers away like that.
Funny.
But what do you think sets you apart from the average everyday competition, other than everything sounding so awesome and being super thought about and high tech and just effective?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's the especially on the goggle side, that whole technology, it's just how well it outperforms everything else. There's nothing else in the world like it. And I think reason being is because nobody's really pushed for a new adoption of any type of a standard to it. I mean, we've had the same solution since like the 1950s. The polycarbonate eyewear solution's been there, and nobody's been chasing it, I guess, to try to change it. And what I learned back in when I was starting the journey, like 2018 or so, was the injury data. And you can look it up. They did a 10-year study, the Department of Defense, over Afghanistan and Iraq. And it was $26 billion in ocular injuries. 10 years. So you're talking 2.6 billion per year annually, 2.3 billion annually on the injuries. And then you can condense that to what's IED frag. And it's still 43%. So I'm even going to say it's 13 billion over 10 years. It's more than a billion per year just on the injuries alone, not to mention the quality of life for the soldier and coming home or losing his eye. That's a debilitating injury. It's going to cost a lot. But to the generals, it would be your attrition rates. Because that eye gets injured, you're out of the fight for a while. So you lose that attrition.
Right.
So it's about saving that as well.
This the Black Powder Podcast, let's get explicit. We got the wisdom hitting targets with a mark with precision. We're having fun in the booth, we're running gun for the truth. Every future black gun owner, we're spreading the news. We do illegal, we're moving regal and blessing the people. Some hopes for the culture, we keep it locked like guns in a holster. Holding it down as we're loading the rounds. If they were nervous back then, right, then they're gonna be scared of us now. Black Powder Podcast, we'll be back in a while. Yeah.